And if you've strayed from God this morning, if you've become unfaithful, if you've sinned against God and you've brought reproach. Spiritual. What were the spiritual advantages of this particular birthright? Well, we know that according to the Bible, that Esau would be the patriarch and the priest of the house upon his father's death. He would be the chief of the chosen family and the heir of the promised blessing of Almighty God. And that entailed a lot. He was able to invoke the blessing of Abraham regarding that threefold promise that the Bible mentions in the book of Genesis chapter 28. And so all of these issues were at stake when Esau sold his birthright. But here's the problem. It really wasn't a bargain at all. Esau made a bad deal with his brother. He did. He gave in to the cravings of his hunger. And you see, he valued that red pottage more highly than his birthright. And for this reason, he is called in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 16, a profane person. Generally, when you think of profane, when we get the word profanity from, we think of someone who is much, much worse than that. But the Bible calls Esau a profane person simply because he sold his birthright and he dishonored his father and his grandfather. You see, one of his big mistakes was the fact that Esau chose the present over the future. And you know what? We do that a lot in life, do we not? Sometimes we never really think about the future. All we're thinking about is the here and now. We're like little children sometimes when they go out to Walmart. You know, they want that toy and they want it right now. They don't want to wait. You're sitting there saying, well, why don't we wait till your birthday? Or why don't we wait till Christmas? I'm telling you, they could care less about Christmas and they could care less about their birthday. They want it right now. They want immediate gratification and satisfaction. But you know what? The real odd thing about that is the fact that even adults do the same. We do. We want what we want, and we want it right now. We never really think about the future and the consequences of our sin. We want what we want right now. The pottage may have satisfied him momentarily, but what about the future? What about the future? You know, I've often wondered what might have gone on in the mind of Esau after he satisfied himself with that bowl of stew and when he walked away. I've often wondered if he realized the consequences of what he had done or if he really felt that Jacob would hold him to it. But he swore by an oath that he would relinquish his birthright for just a bowl of soup. It made him profane. He was thinking about the temporary, the physical pleasure. And so Esau made a bad bargain. Now, most of us would never do anything like that, not with a family member. We would want what we think is coming to us and what our mother and dad wanted us to have. But I've pondered many, many times, are we selling our birthright? How do we do that? You know, you and I, when we become Christians, are born into the family of God. The Bible calls it the new birth, John chapter 3:3-5. And we are baptized into Christ and we become Christians and we're birthed into the kingdom of God. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible says, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. We become brothers and sisters in Christ. And all of us can share the inheritance. But you know what the real problem is? Is not the fact that we sell our birthright to one another, but we sell our birthright to the world. Our birthright as a Christian, the Bible says in Galatians 3 and verse 29, that we are heirs according to the promise that was made even unto Abraham. Now you may think in your mind, well, how would the promise that God made to Abraham affect us? Or how would that be efficacious to us? Well, let me explain that. Do you know you and I tonight are Christians because of the promise that God made to Abraham? Because God said unto Abraham, I will bless you and your seed, and your seed's seed. And we know that Christ came through the seed of Abraham, through the promised seed. And if, listen, had there not been an Abraham, there would not have been a Jesus. There would not have been a Christ. And so when Christ came from the seed of Abraham, then you and I have right to that wonderful promise that God made unto Abraham, that he was going to bless us. And in the book of Romans 8, verse 16 through 17, the Bible says that we are heirs with Christ, joint heirs, the Bible says. Notice that, with Christ. You and I, we don't have, listen, there's no law of primogeniture that says one of us in the church will get a double portion. We all get the same thing. And we're going to be joint heirs, now listen to that, joint heirs with Christ our Lord. And we are heirs according to the hope of eternal life, Titus chapter 3 and verse 7. We're heirs to the kingdom of God that Christ promised and established, James 2 and verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11 that we looked at this morning. And in him all things, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, 21 and 23, he said, in him all things are ours. And our inheritance, and this is a beautiful thing about this. Our inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled. Peter said, and it is an inheritance that will not fade. You know, everything in this world, if you inherit anything, we have a few relics at home that we have inherited. I have a table that belongs to my grandmother. Adam, you saw that the other day, by the way, in our den. And I've treasured that simply because it was an heirloom, because it was something that belonged to my grandmother. And I've held on to that, and I've kept that through the years, and I hope to pass it down to my kids. I don't think they're real interested, but anyway, it is an heirloom. And it's something that I have treasured, and I have several other things that I've just simply held on to, even some garments and things. But you know what? With the passing of time, those things begin to fade and deteriorate. Sometimes they become moth-eaten, and sometimes they just wither away. But the Bible says that the inheritance that we have, and that's kind of like that inheritance that Jacob would receive. Jacob would eventually die. That inheritance would eventually be gone. But the inheritance that you and I have in Christ Jesus our Lord is one that is undefiled. You know what? We were singing that song a moment ago, I've Got a Mansion. You know, Jesus described that in the book of John, the 14th chapter, when he said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. You know, I've often thought, I don't have to have a mansion. I really don't. Ira Sankey, who wrote that song, is a very beautiful song. But you know what? I don't have to have a mansion. The thing that's going to make heaven so wonderful is being in the presence of God and at a place that is undefiled and in a place that is incorruptible and a place that will not fade. And Peter says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 4 that it is a place that is reserved in heaven. What a wonderful birthright. And you know what? No one can take it away from us. They can't. Jacob took that birthright away from Esau. But no one can take our birthright away. But you know what? You and I can give it up. We can. But you know, when you think about what Christ promised concerning the blessings of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Do you know that the blessings are not just something that comes when we die and we go to be with God? I want you to listen to something. It's found in the book of Mark, the 10th chapter, verse 28 through 30. And I want you to listen as I read this. Because in this particular passage, Christ says something about the here and now as well as the hereafter. The Bible says, and Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all, and we have followed thee. We've given it all up. We've given up the things that can be defiled and the corruptible things that we may follow you, he says. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man, now listen to it, that hath left his house or his brethren or his sisters or his father or his mother or his wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now. Listen to it. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. And in the world to come, he says, eternal life. You know, what that says to me is that there are just so many wonderful blessings that follow those who follow Christ. I really believe God's people, and I, you know, some people would doubt this, and some people would pour cold water on it, and some people would say, well, I just don't believe that. But I'm going to tell you something. As a Christian, I believe that we are more greatly blessed of God than people in the world. Sometimes we look at the world and people say, well, you know, we sing that old song, Tempted and Tried, we're oft made to wonder why others prosper. But you know what? When you look at the world, by and large, I'm going to tell you something. They're unhappy. They're unfulfilled. They're not satisfied. But those of us who are in Christ Jesus our Lord and those of us who are Christians are people that are fulfilled. Hey, you know, when we face a problem, the world can't understand why we just don't throw our hands up and run wild like they do. But we have someone who is standing by us. We have the Paraclete, that is the Holy Spirit. We have one who is standing by, and God is watching after us. The question tonight, I guess, is, are we like Esau? Are we making a bad bargain? How can we make a bad bargain? How can we tonight be like Esau? Well, I would tell you, first of all, that when we succumb to the passing pleasures of sin, we have made a bad bargain. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 through 26, the Bible tells us about Moses in the Old Testament. Listen to these words. The Bible says, by faith Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know, when Moses was over in Pharaoh's house, he had everything going his way. I mean, he was prosperous in every way. But the Word of God says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, a passing time, few moments. Esteeming the reproach of Christ, listen to that, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. I'll tell you another way that we can make a bad bargain. And that is when we walk after the flesh rather than walking after the Spirit. Sometimes we are so fleshly minded, all we think about is the world and the things in the world. And John said, you know, we should not love the world, neither things that are in the world, for all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. He says, these things are of the world, and they're not of God. But how can we hold on to that birthright when the world is constantly trying to lure us and draw us away from the promises of God? The Bible in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14 says that we are to pursue peace and holiness before God. Be careful not to fall short of the grace of God, Hebrews 12, 15. And exercise discipline and godliness, 1 Corinthians 9. Paul says, I buffet my body, verse 27, he says, I buffet my body and I bring it under the subjection of Christ daily, lest by, after I have preached to many others, I myself should be a castaway. That's why Paul could say at the end of his sojourn here, I have fought the good fight. What's he talking about? He's talking about fighting the world. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. And henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day. And not only me, but all of them that love his appearing. Esau made the mistake of depreciating the value of his inheritance. And as I told you this morning, you know, a person can be lost even after he becomes a Christian. He can stray back into the world. And he depreciates the value of that birthright when he became a child of God. You leave God, I'm telling you folks, you got problems. When you succumb to the desires of the flesh more than the desires of Almighty God, you got a problem. And we make a similar mistake when we do not appreciate the value of the inheritance that we have in Christ. And giving in to the allure of the immediate gratification of the flesh, we have to be careful in how we live before God. Paul gave warnings to the church in closing in the book of 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1 and 2. He says, "We then, as workers together with him," he says, "also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, 'In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation,' he says, 'I have helped you.' And he says, 'Behold, now is the time, the acceptable time, for today is the day of salvation.'" Do you realize that the whole entire New Testament, the epistles, were written to keep us from making a bad bargain? To keep us from selling out to the world? I dare say, and you've heard me say this before, but I think it probably is true, that in today's world, and it may be true even here in Palestine, that there is many unfaithful children of God as there are faithful children of God. People who at one time were members of the body, and they departed going back into the world. The Bible says of Demas that Paul says, "He hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." He was back in the world. His mind, listen, you cannot have your mind on hell and your heart on heaven. Not going to happen. Jesus says you cannot serve two masters, Matthew chapter 6. We either serve God and we follow him, or we serve the devil. Must have been a sad time for Esau. You know, the Bible says something about Esau that really is, I guess you could say, an aura of sadness to me. For the Bible says later about Esau that he sought place for repentance, but he found none. That's a sad thought, isn't it? Time finally came, however, when Jacob and Esau were able to make up and said to the other, "Seeing you is like seeing the face of God." Sometimes I see brothers and sisters and families fight over the earthly inheritance, and sometimes they get upset and they never speak to one another for years. But you know, you stop and you think about that. Is that really worth it? Is that what we want? Is that what we're after? Or is it the heavenly? I can tell you tonight, with me, it's heaven. And I hope it is with you. And I hope tonight your real emphasis is upon not saving your bank account, not saving your money, not saving your earthly possessions, but going to heaven. We've all been concerned about what's going on up in Washington with those who are endeavoring to raise the debt ceiling and others who are saying, "No, we don't want to do that." And, you know, it seems sometimes that we get caught up more in that than we do really wondering whether or not we're prepared to meet God and whether we're going to heaven when life is over here. And that's where our focus really ought to be, folks. It really is. I hope it's where your focus is tonight. David has selected a song of encouragement that we're going to sing. And if you need to respond tonight in a public way to the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ, either become a Christian and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus through a penitent heart and be immersed or baptized, then that invitation is for you. But if you're a child of God and you realize that maybe you've been too worldly minded to be any heavenly good, well, I hope tonight that you'll make those changes that need to be made as we stand together and as we sing this song.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood.